Hi there. I'm dressed like a coach tonight because I am a coach. And I'm dressed like a coach from Lakeside because I am a coach from Lakeside. So sorry I didn't dress up for the occasion, but I came straight from practice. my name's Rue Johnson, and I'm an unapologetic Christian sister in Christ, and I love you all with all my heart. Chris Plants asked me to do this, and so I said, yep, I'll do it, because I love Chris Plants. I think he's a great dude, and he's got me fired up for Jesus. He's got me fired up to lose my job at Lakeside speaking about Jesus. He's pretty much got me fired up. So with that being said, he asked me to give my testimony because I gave it to him one day when he came to speak at FCA. I'm one of the FCA leaders at Lakeside, and I gave him my testimony, and so he asked me to give it to you guys tonight. as you can tell, I'm not from the South. I was born and raised in Colorado, so all those things that you expect a Southern Christian woman to do, I'm none of those. I don't cook. I don't follow the protocol of being a Southern Christian woman because I'm not one. And if I'm being 100% honest, I had a little bit of reserve trying to come and speak to you guys tonight because I really thought that there'd be a huge bit of judgment on me because of who I am, because I'm not, I don't fit the mold. But on the other hand, that's kind of what's cool about me is I don't fit the mold. I'm different. So born and raised Colorado, I grew up in a house, on a farm, I should say. I grew up in a farm with my family, and we didn't really go to church, but my grandma was a devout Catholic, and so because of that, she really thought it was really important to make sure that we hit those sacraments when we were supposed to hit those sacraments. And if you don't know anything about the Catholic Church, there's steps. So I started going to church so that I could get baptized. I got baptized when I was a baby into the church. And then you have to go to Sunday school to do your first communion. And that's pretty much the extent of my church, was going through those steps. My grandma talked about God, but my parents didn't necessarily live that lifestyle and got divorced when I was 10. And then when I got into high school, there's another sacrament. If you don't know, there's another step. And so when I got into high school, I had to get confirmed into the church. And I remember going to do that and having to tell somebody else my sins. And I told the dude that I sinned, I broke every commandment at least twice. And so he was like, you've killed somebody. And I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, there's, I'm sure somehow that's happened. So that really was a bad situation for me because I really didn't like that. And then I also ran into a very, very mean lady in the church, okay? She was very mean, and she didn't like the way I dressed. She didn't like the way I carried myself, and it really turned me off to church. I didn't want to be around people like that. And so I continued on with my life, and as I started doing this, my parents got divorced, was going through some really hard times. I started to make really bad choices in my life just because I didn't have any leadership in my life. But the one thing that was the best thing in my life at that time was that I was an athlete and that I loved softball. And so because of that, I poured everything I had into softball. And so I decided that I was going to stop doing illegal substances with my friends after school, and that I was going to try and transfer to a different school and get my life in a better situation so that I could go and play college softball, because that's all I cared about. While that was going on, my mom was struggling with an addiction. She was addicted to prescription pain pills, and then that ended up leading into her being addicted to alcohol. And so as that continued on into my high school career, again, I didn't really care about school. I only got good grades so I could play softball and basketball and all the sports. And I ended up getting a softball scholarship to go and play college softball. At this point, my mom's addiction was extremely bad, and when my parents got divorced, my dad was no longer in my life, so much so that my dad prorated his last child support check to the day that I was born. I was born on the 20th, and so he prorated it for 20 days to pay only 20 days worth of his last month. So my dad had no idea what I was doing or where I was at, really. My mom was so strung out that she had no idea what was really going on. And so the only thing I had was my team, was softball, and so I really just poured everything that I had into doing that. My mom's addiction got to the point where I was just waiting on the phone call that my mom was going to die. My mom was about my size, and she got down to about 89 pounds. if you've never seen somebody struggle with addiction, it's a terrible, terrible thing. My sister, I had a 10-year-old sister who was younger than me. She was living with my grandparents at the time. And my brother, who was 2 years older than me, he kind of went on a different path. And so he was also struggling with his own addiction and alcohol. So I really was alone during those times. And I just remember laying in my bed thinking about, you know, how terrible my life was and how hard things were and how I just felt like if I could just go, you know, dive into a pool or just take a shower, that it would just wash all the stress away, because I didn't know how to deal with all of it. So what I did is just didn't deal with it and just continued to keep pouring into softball, because if I could be the best at that, if I could put everything I wanted into that, that would carry me out of this hell that I was in with my family and the things that I was in. I had no financial support, so I was always having to work side jobs and do different things to try and take care of myself all through college. And so I had some bad relationships with some, I wouldn't call them men because they were boys. I mean, we're in college, they're not men yet. So I had some bad relationships, and those were of people that were addicted to drugs. And so that was bad. But again, all through that time, while I was at the school that I was at, I had a coach that believed in me and loved me and poured everything that she had into me. And so because of that, I bought into her, because she bought into me, and she didn't care about all the things that was going on in my life, and that, you know, my mom couldn't handle it, and that she was, you know, lost our house, and that my dad had no contact with me, and that I had no money. She didn't care. She was just pouring into me, just, you can do this, you can do this, just keep getting better and better and better. And I did. So I was at a 2-year school, which is a junior college. I left from there to go to a 4-year university that she became the head coach at, so I could get to play for her for my whole college career. I was so pumped up. When she went to go there, my mom's addiction was so bad at this point. We would put her into a rehab, and she would get out of the rehab within 72 hours, and then we couldn't find her. My brother at this point, he was killing it. He was in work release and decided that he just wasn't going to go back to work release. For those of you who don't know what work release is, that means that you're in jail, but you're not really in jail. They're going to let you go work in the day, and then you can come back. Well, he just didn't come back one day. And so then he was running from the law. And where did he run? Kilgore, Texas. Okay, so that's what leads me to the south, was Kilgore, Texas. So he puts me in some contact with some distant relatives, because my brother's calling back and being like, dude, how's mom? She dead yet? And I'm like, nope, we don't know actually where she's at. She's gotten out of rehab. We don't know where she's at. And I'm on my way to a softball game as a junior in college, calling the cops to put a missing persons report out on my mom, because we hadn't seen or heard from her in 5 days. And then I got to get it together and go play a softball game. And so, you know, we're doing this, and my brother's in contact. Well, the boy that I was dating at the time, he worked in the oil field. Well, my distant relatives, my cousins, lived in Kilgore, so they worked in the oil field too. So they started telling my boyfriend at the time, who was taking care of me, how wonderful the oil field was in Texas and that we needed to move down there. And he told me that he wanted to move and that he was depressed. He was going to kill himself if we didn't leave. And I'm, you know, 21 years old. I don't know what I'm going to do, how I'm going to make it. And so I had to leave the school that I was at. Well, right before we left, the bounty hunters got my brother in Texas and brought him back to a jail. And they also found my mom living in a homeless settlement underneath a bridge. And she had a warrant out for her arrest for assaulting a police officer. So they put her in jail. Well, just so happened they were both in the same jail. So that worked out very conveniently for me, because all I had to do was go to one jail to say goodbye to them and go to Texas. It was nice. I didn't have to travel to different jails. So I said goodbye to my mom and said goodbye to my brother, and I went and took my last finals at Metro State University of Denver, and said my goodbyes to my coach, and I was leaving to Texas. I told my boyfriend at the time, I'm not going to leave this college if I can't go play softball down wherever we're going. And my cousin said, oh, there's some universities around here. There's Laterno University. Got on it. Christian. Not going there. There's East Texas Baptist University. Not going where those Bible thumpers are. Yeah, right. There's University of Texas Tyler. great, state school, separation of church and state. I'm in. Let's go. So I called the coach, and I don't know if you, Colorado, you can cuss. It's okay. There's a lot of words you can say in Colorado that you can't say here. Well, I said all of them. And I called the coach, and I'm dropping all the bombs on him and telling him what a good softball player I was, because I was. I was a really good softball player. I had led the nation in home runs. I was an All-American. I was, you know, I had all these accolades. And so, if you know anything about softball, it was a Division III at the time. University of Texas Tyler was a Division III. Well, they don't give you any money, but you can go play softball there because it's no harm to them. So he's like, yeah, come on, play. You led the nation in home runs. I think we'll work on that. Just come on, let's see how it goes. So he asked me to come and play. We move in. We drive in all of our glory to Texas. We get to Kilgore having no idea what Kilgore, Texas looked like. So if you've ever been in Colorado, imagine coming from Colorado and rolling up into Kilgore, Texas, okay? And I thought to myself, what did I do? This was a very bad decision. But things got worse because when I got to my cousin's house, okay, I use that term very lightly because I didn't know what else to call her. When I got to my cousin's house, the room that she said that me and my boyfriend could live in at the time was not a room. It was a front porch that had no heating and no air conditioning and was only wide enough for us to have a bed. And so I'm just like, oh, okay. So I had that. Well, if you know anything, this was in 2007. So the oil field tanked because of the recession that we went through. And so my boyfriend was not able to find a job. And so I was having to go and I was having to work at the school. And I was taking care of the field. They gave me a field maintenance job, so we would have to take care of the field, and that's how I lived. That's how I ate. We were so poor, we had no money. The money that I got there was very, very minimal, and that money would go to gas to get me back and forth to college, and then also my food. So every week, as a college athlete, I would go and buy a loaf of bread, a bag of chips, a jar of peanut butter, and a jar of jelly, and I would eat that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day. And the only time I'd eat something different is if we were traveling as a softball team and they would feed us. But when I roll up into the scene, I'm a little wild, I'm a little crazy. And the first person I met, her name was Lindsay Peters, and she was from Shreveport, Louisiana. And she met me there, and another girl that I met, she was from Longview, and her name was Kristen Aiken. And for the rest of the story, they're going to be known as Petey and Aiken, because that's sport names, okay? but I met them, and they were two Christian girls, and I didn't really know anything about that. I had also never heard about getting saved, and I had also never seen a Pentecostal until I moved to the South, and so those were two things that I had to be educated on real fast. But when I went there, these two girls, they were so nice to me, okay? They were so nice to me, and they told me that I probably shouldn't drop F-bombs. That probably wasn't a good idea, and I was like, oh, okay, all right. And they probably told me some other vulgar things that I probably shouldn't say because I didn't know, because we said those things in Colorado, and it was okay. and I remember my first day at practice, I walked into the dugout, and we had a whiteboard in there, and on the whiteboard was I can do all things through Christ, right? And so I was like, whoa, wait a second. You see that? That's a state school. What's Christ doing on the whiteboard? Ex-nay, wrong. This isn't okay. And then the next thing that we did is we had practice, and then after practice, we prayed. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. And so the rest of the team all gathered around and held hands and prayed. And I said, I'm not doing that. I put my foot down. I'm not doing that. Well, that lasted for not very long because if you know anything about me, I like to win. I also am a competitor and I'm also a leader. And there was absolutely no way that these girls were going to look at me and be a leader on this team if I didn't at least hold their hands and bow my head and act like I was praying. So I said, okay, fine, whatever. I'll pray. So I started praying with them, and then, of course, we had to pray before games, right? So I had to pretend before games and after practices. And then I also had to pretend because they started doing this thing called FCA, and this dude started coming and started preaching, and they would all go to that, and I'd be the only one not there. So I was like, well, I better go to that too. Better go pretend in that situation. So as I was pretending, you know, clearly God was working on me. And also what I found out is that pretty much everybody on my team was from the South, and they all had Christian beliefs, which I thought were silly and stupid, and so I made fun of them. I made fun of every single girl on my team for being a Christian, whether they had a purity ring or whether they said, well, I'm not going to cuss because I'm a Christian, or whether it was, I'm not going to drink because I'm a Christian, or whatever it was, I would just make fun of them because I thought it was stupid. And they still loved me. I don't know. Maybe it was because I hit home runs. I don't really know. But they all still loved me, and maybe because I'm charismatic. But I didn't really understand Christianity. I just knew about hypocrites because that's all I had ever seen when I was around Christians. As this is going on, my mom, we're poor, we're broke. My mom is still in jail. My brother's in jail. And so I'm trying to make it through this. And all the while, I just keep pouring into softball, just keep pouring into softball. And I keep doing great. I'm breaking records. I'm hitting home runs. I'm, you know, doing all these things. And as we fast forward into this, these 2 years that I spent there, my friend Petey was a really good friend to me. She was my best friend, and she just kept showing me the love of Christ. I didn't know it at the time, but that's what it was. She just kept loving me for who I was. She never judged me. She never judged me for cussing and drinking and acting crazy. She never. She just loved me. My friend Aiken was the first person who ever gave me a Bible. I'd never had a Bible until that point. She gave me a Bible. And so as this goes on, my friend, I decided, you know, the boy who asked me, he asked me to marry him. I said, of course, let's get married. But I said, I don't want to get married in a church. And I don't want to have any mention of God or Jesus or any of that at this wedding. None of that. So, he said, of course, let's do that. We got married. 6 months later, we got divorced. That's what happens when you get married and God's not involved in your marriage. It doesn't last. And so we got divorced. And I was then having to still go to school, even though I was done playing softball. But I was so lost. Because all I knew was softball. Softball was my God. Because all I did was to softball. That's the only reason I went to school. That was the only reason I ate well. That was the only reason I took care of myself. That was the only reason I was nice to people. That was the only reason I was going to try and not cuss. That softball, that's it. So when that was gone, I didn't know what I was doing. I was so lost. And so I finished my last semester of school going through a divorce. My friend Petey shows up, helps me move all my stuff, helps me keep my stuff at her house. I'm supposed to go and play softball in Europe, play professional softball in Europe. So I go to Europe. She lets me keep all of my stuff at her house, okay? She then, while I'm over there, I can't find any ketchup or cold sore medicine because I can't read German. And so she sends it to me in the mail, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to find myself in Europe, you know? Like, I'm missing something. I just need to get there. And if I play softball, I'm going to find it. I'm going to find that. Nothing in Europe. If you want to go to a place where Jesus is not, go to Europe, okay? I was so lost there. I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I was like, oh, I know what it is. I got to get back to coaching. So I got a job, left straight from Switzerland, flew to Colorado to coach at the junior college that I had played at. And I'm like, I'm going to find myself here. This is it. This is where it's at. I'm going to find myself. It's going to be good. All the while, I'm poor. I have no money. I'm literally struggling in life. But I get there, and I'm like all jammed up. Everything's going to be good. Did not turn out good. I did not find myself in Colorado in the middle of the desert. It was not good. But my friend, the whole time that I was there, she was checking in on me, and one day I had a terrible day because the guy that I was dating at the time, who was a heroin addict, which I didn't know at the time, had come home and taken everything out of the apartment that was worth any kind of value. And the thing that made me the most mad is that he took my home run bats that I had hit, you know, the national home run record and become an All-American with, and he took those to try and sell those. And it was just a terrible day. And the next day, when I come home to this box in my door, and I look at it, and it was a king cake from Shreveport, Louisiana, and it was from my friend Petey. And I was just like, man, you know, like, thank you so much. I needed that. And so I decide, you know what? Colorado just ain't it. My heart is hurting. There's something missing in my heart. I just need to get to to Texas. That's where I need to go. That's where I felt my best. I just need to get to Texas. So I found a coaching job in Texas at the University of Texas, Dallas, and I had moved there, right? The coach was like, I'll hire you at the end of May. I'll hire you at the beginning of June. I'll hire you at the end of June. And then it just kept going on and on and on, right? Well, I moved there. She has a house. She says, hey, live in this little room right here, and good luck. Find some work until I can get you hired. I could not find any work. I was trying to give hitting lessons. I was so poor. I had no money. I didn't know what I was going to do. Well, because when you're poor, you can become very resourceful. I had a friend, because I had gotten divorced, who was like, hey, you should get on Match.com. And I was like, yeah, I'll get on Match.com. Well, I was on Match.com when I was in Dallas. And mind you, I'm poor and I'm very resourceful. I had the bright idea, what if I set up dates with these guys and then I can eat? Worked like a charm, okay? Until you met a douchebag guy that would not pay for your meal, and then you were just had to eat what you could, right? Or you had to try and, so I had to be careful. I could only order what I had enough money for just in case they didn't pay for me. But it worked, okay? So I had dates set up for lunch. I had some dinner dates, even had some breakfast dates. And it worked out great. I was happy. Maybe they were happy. I don't know. I was eating. That's what mattered. And so I got a job finally working at the Terrell Outlets. I was working at Applebee's in Terrell, okay? And I was working there, and my friend Petey comes through, and I'm going through this training session where they're training me to be a waitress, right? My friend Petey comes through, and she's like, hey, I just bought a house. So, you know, you should come visit sometime. And if you ever need anything, just let me know. I just bought a house in Shreveport. And I'm like, okay, cool. I got this thing going. She's like, all right. Well, the thing wasn't going, okay? Because I go, I find out that the girl that I'm trying to get hired with, she gets fired. I have no job. I'm like, what am I going to do? I go to work. My boss says, you can't work tonight because you have the wrong shirt. I'm like, look, I'll buy the shirt. She's like, you can't work tonight. I said, I quit. I'm fine. I'll quit. So I quit, go home, throw all my stuff into my little hoopty car that barely runs, and I drive all the way from Dallas to Shreveport, and I show up at my friend's doorstep at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and she takes me open arms and says, okay, here we go. You're here. Let's go. So I'm like, all right, what do? I got to figure this out. So I went and played some slow pitch softball, because that's what you do. You know, you go play softball. And I met somebody there that had recognized me from college, and their friends were physical therapists, so they got me a job working at Specialist Hospital. And so I was working there, had a job. I was doing some training, and I was trying to be a firefighter. I had all these things going on, but things were kind of looking up, except that I kept drinking. I kept drinking. That was not a good plan. That was a bad idea. And so that really kept me in a really bad place, and I was still on Match.com, so that wasn't good. Those were really bad combos. And I came home one night, and I was so not in a good place, if you know what I mean, that I ended up in the wrong bed, okay? Thank goodness that our roommate was not home, but I ended up in the wrong bed. And I literally told my friend, I was like, I can't do this. I need help. Like, I'm in a bad place. I don't know what to do. And she said, okay, we need to find a church. I said, all right. So we started looking for churches, started going to churches. Some of them that felt too churchy, I wasn't about it. And she worked at Chimp Haven. If you all know where that's at, she worked at Chimp Haven. And so she didn't have Sundays off. And so we couldn't really go to one on Sundays. So we were trying to go and find a church to go to. Well, one of the ladies that came into a specialist said, hey, look, there's this cowboy church over in Greenwood. You should go to it. It's awesome. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm down. So we went to this cowboy church. Loved it. If you guys know Pastor Dennis Aaron, he coached at Evangel. I think that's why I loved it, because he was a coach, right? And he was a cowboy. And so he didn't talk like that out there, blah, 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 blah. He was just like, hey, dummy. Don't do that, and you should do this, and stop acting like a fool. And I'm just like, hey, look, I can pick that up. And so he started preaching and talking to me, and I was like, okay, I can get this. I'd love to tell you that it was like I just came to God right then, but I didn't, of course, because I'm stubborn. but what really was one of the things that finalized that was I was coaching a little league softball or travel softball team in Tyler, Texas, and I was driving back and forth. And I had this little group of girls that were 12. I think it was like a 12U team. And one of the brothers of the girl, he died. He was walking home from school. He was 15 years old, and he got hit by a car and died. And so as a group, as an organization, we were going to go to his funeral. And I was like, man, this is going to be really sad. Like, this is going to be terrible. So we go to the funeral. And when we walk in, everybody's wearing camo because that's what they requested. And everybody's like sad but happy. And I'm like, this is weird. What's going on here? And so then the mom gets up and she starts playing this video of her son reciting, "As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," right? And he's saying it when he's little. And I'm like, well, that's kind of cool, like that you have that. And then his youth pastor gets up and says, the week before Jacob died, he was at his Wednesday youth class, and he asked everybody, if you die tomorrow, do you know where you're going to go? Jacob was the first one to stand up and raise his hand and say, I know exactly where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to be right next to Jesus because I've given my heart to him. And I was just like, whoa. And at that moment, I realized why everybody was so happy, because where I grew up, I used to go to funerals where we didn't know if they were in heaven or hell. Some of us didn't even believe in heaven and hell. Go to those funerals. But this funeral, everybody knew where this kid was. There wasn't a doubt where this kid was, because he said it the week before, and he lived it. And everybody knew right where he was. And everybody had a peace about it, because they knew that if they have given their heart to Christ, that they were going to be there too. And so I was like, huh, ain't that something? So you'd think maybe I gave it to them. Nope, that's not how that goes. Not with Rue Johnson. Nope. So I go back to church, and there's this pastor who comes in, and he's, preaching, and he's giving it, and he's dealing it. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's what I'm talking about. He's giving it. And I'm like, I'm tired. If this is it. And so he does at the end, every head bowed, every eye closed, put your hand up. Okay, yep, I see you. I see one over there. Thank you. And I'm like, all right, yeah. So I put my hand up. And then he ends the service. Everybody goes home. Everybody's walking up to the pastor saying, oh, hey, I love you. You're great. I love it. Great job. And I'm like, buddy boy, that's not how this goes down. So I march down from the balcony, and I cut every single person in line, and I went straight up to him, and I said, bro, what do I do now? You asked me to raise my hand. I did, and you don't give me any direction on what's next. You're just going to end it and say goodbye? Like, that's not cool. So, Pastor Dennis, I'm telling you, he must have dealt with kids that coached, right? He coached. So he grabbed me by the hand, and he didn't say a word to anybody else in line, right? I'm sure there were some little old ladies that were real mad that Pastor Dennis didn't shake their hand, right? And so he grabbed my hand, and he walked me to his office, and he gave me a book, and it was a devotional. It was a Bible devotional book. And he said, you need to get in the Word, because the devil's going to attack you, and you need to get in the Word. I said, okay. So I started reading the Word, just like he told me to do. And I had a dream previous to this, right? And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I couldn't say anything. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do anything. And the devil was on top of me. I couldn't tell it was the devil, but I knew it was the devil, and he was on top of me. And I was scared, and I couldn't say anything, and I couldn't do anything, and I was scared. And then I woke up. I kept reading the Bible. And then in the Bible, at some point, you guys might know the address, but I don't. It says, if you cast your sins, right, into the sea, that they will go away, right? And that you cast them out, and they are going to go away into the sea, just like some kind of a plant that you pull up, right? And the roots of this plant, I don't know, it was in the Bible, or it was in this book. And you cast it, and I was like, dude, I just got to get rid of these and cast them away. And so I did. And when I did that, when they say, Jesus will bring you to your knees, that's legit. I'm just telling y'all right now, Jesus brought me to my knees, and at that moment, I realized how terrible of a human being I really was, and how mean I was to all those girls on my team, and how many times I mocked God, and how many times I did these things to God, a loving God who loved me more than anything, and I did those things to him, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and I begged for forgiveness, and then that dream happened again, but you know what happened this time? I had my voice back, and I screamed at the devil, and I said, get out of my house! Get out of my house! Leave me! And I felt strong, and I felt powerful, and I wasn't afraid, and I had my power back. For the first time in my entire life, all these things kept happening to me, and I kept trying to be strong, but I never had my power until I gave it to God, and he gave it back to me. So I know I'm over my 10 minutes, but I'm almost done. But anyway, so I went back to the pastor, and I'm like, look, dude, everything in this says that I'm supposed to get baptized, and I'm not baptized. And he's like, whoa, we'll get you baptized. Just hang on a second. I'm like, all right. So he plans it. I tell my little softball team. They all show up, right? At Cowboy Church, we get dunked whole in a horse trough. So I get all ready in the horse trough, right? And he says his little spiel, which you guys probably know. I don't, but I do know that it's basically saying, hey, look, I'm giving my heart to you. And he dunks me. When I was under the water, it was like all the times that I was so stressed and God was telling me to go to the water, because all I ever wanted to do was go take a shower or go jump in a pool or any of those times I had this sensation that if I could just get to water, I was going to be okay. And it was God my entire life calling me to the well, saying, if you just come to the well, I will take it from you. And in that moment, I said, oh, look at this. I'm saved. This is what being saved is. All them crazy people, this is it right here. I'm saved, okay? And so that's how I came to Christ. What I do know is that I got off Match.com, but not before I met my husband, who's from Gibson, Louisiana, who is born and raised in the church, and who our first date was to Cowboy Church, which I thought was really funny because my friend was like, look, you don't really need to be dating guys. I'm like, you're right. And so I told him, I was like, look, I know we set up a date, but I got to go to Cowboy Church. And he's like, you go to church? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'll go with you. I was like, great. So we went to our first date at Cowboy Church. I was saved there. He asked me to marry him there. We got married there. And after that, the rest is history. One last thing that I want to say is my friend Petey was the first person who ever showed me Jesus. She was the first person who ever loved me like Jesus. She didn't care what a wreck I was. She just kept loving me through it. And she kept showing up in times that I didn't expect her to show up. So I just encourage you that don't ever judge a book by its cover, because you don't know what kind of power is in that person when God gets a hold of them. And our job is just to love everybody, even when they're a hot mess. So the next time you hear somebody drop an F-bomb and you scoff at them, that might just be the next Rue Johnson. So just love them through it.